president's comments about NFL players, the NFL protests, the national division. Is there a path of wisdom for us?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we are committed on this broadcast not just to address controversial issues, but to do our best to do it in a redemptive way, in a constructive way, in a life-giving way. It's easy to have lots of heat. It's easy to stir up controversy. It's easy to get people in passion and people calling in furious with the other caller and back and forth. But our goal is not so much heat as it is light. I believe I've got some words of wisdom as we talk about the president, the NFL, the tensions in America, the racial tensions in America right now, how much of this is real, how much of this is being stoked by activists on either side. We're going to talk those things through today. Welcome to the broadcast, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. So here's my question for you, and I'm very happy to let you vent. I'm very happy for you to share your viewpoint clearly. In fact, what has helped me come to better understanding the years, over what, roughly 9 years of doing live talk radio, has been listening to you, the callers, and hearing perspectives that are outside of my own world, outside of my own background, outside of my own experience. It's important that we do our best to have some understanding here. So, do you believe that the president did the right thing when he called out NFL players who had been protesting the national anthem while speaking in Alabama? Do you think he did the right thing when he called them SOBs? You might say he did the right thing. I don't like the way he did it. Do you think he did the right thing calling out the owners and challenging them to fire the players who are protesting? Remember, this is on their dime. This is like going into a McDonald's to work, and at the beginning of the shift, maybe they say the Pledge of Allegiance in your particular McDonald's, right? Just to make believe, and you decide you're going to take a knee and not do it. Well, someone could fire you for that. It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's what you're doing on the job. Was the president right to do that? Or was he just trying to stir up his conservative base or his conservative white base? After all, he was in Alabama. It was a largely white crowd. Or are the players right to protest? Are the players right to say, look, we see injustice in our society. We see problems. We want to draw attention to it. This is a public way to do it. We're using the platforms that we have as athletes, and we want to send a message as well. And now that you've challenged us, we feel we need to push back. Now that you've pushed against us, we need to push back. Do you think the players are doing the right thing, or do you think they may be right in being upset with the president, but they're going about it the wrong way? What about LeBron James calling the president a bum? Is that just retaliation for the president calling these athletes SOBs? Where does one draw the line? 866-348-7884. How do you feel about the teams that said, we don't want to politicize this, so we're just not going to participate in the anthem? We're just going to play football. Well, did that all the more politicize things? And what about Alvin Lueva, the left tackle on the Pittsburgh Steelers, when the whole team said, hey, we're going to stay back. We're just not going to make a political statement either way. We're just going to stay back in the locker room in the tunnel until after the anthem. And then he comes out by himself. He's, what, served 3 tours in Afghanistan. He's a decorated war vet. He comes out by himself, and some say, yeah, we agreed to do it as a team. Others said, well, we didn't expect him to do that, but we respect his right. Anyway, he comes out, puts his hand on his chest, wants to honor the flag, doesn't want to dishonor the veterans who have sacrificed for our country's freedoms. And now his jersey sales are off the charts. Where do we come down, and is there a way to unify us? I've got some wisdom. I want to present it to you. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls, 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what's your view? Where do you stand? You think the president is doing the right thing? Or maybe you don't like the language he used, but think he's doing the right thing? You think the players are responding the right way? Or maybe you don't like the way they're doing it? The division runs deep here. What do we make of it as followers of Jesus first and Americans second, as followers of Jesus first and men and women second, as followers of Jesus first and black or white or Hispanic or Asian second? What do we make of this? To read my latest article, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. I've got two new articles, one directly addressing this debate, the president and the NFL. Where do we stand? Where should we stand? So we address that in the most redemptive way I can, not pulling any punches. And then another article from Matthew 24 about the days of Noah, when Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it'll be before he returns. And was he talking about it'll be just as wicked, or was he mainly talking about the people won't be prepared then any more than they were in Noah's day? I write about that, address that, shatter some myths. That's all at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And to get in the conversation, I'll be taking calls in a few minutes, 866-348-7884. All right, so last night I was giving all this prayerful thought. I had written one article. I started to write an article about the NFL and the president. And man, the divisions are very, very intense right now. I mean, think of it. NFL owners upset with the president, even some who supported the president, donate to his campaign. They're upset with the president. They feel what he said was divisive and wrong. NASCAR owners saying, we made it clear to our folks, and there are black crew members and things like that, so it's not just white. They said, we made it clear. You do this, you're fired. Or you do this, we're not happy with it. We don't want to see a protest. We're going to honor our flag. All right? So you have the division there. You have, I mean, complete polarization here. Golden State Warriors looks like they're not going to go to the White House, and President Trump says, well, you're disinvited. Steph Curry, you're hesitating. This is an honor. You're disinvited. He calls the NFL players SOBs. LeBron James calls him a bum and says, used to be an honor to go to the White House before you got there. Now picture if it had been Barack Obama telling white players that what they were doing was ridiculous, say when, or if some of them went to a Glenn Beck rally in D.C., Hispanic players or white players, and he called them SOBs. Think of how conservatives would react. Think of how liberals would react if a white athlete called the president, President Obama, a bum. So you can see how inflammatory this is on both sides. So Golden State Warriors not going to the White House, largely black team. NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins, going to the White House, largely white team. Is this a white-black issue? Listen to what Congresswoman Maxine Waters had to say in a recent TV appearance. She's talk is on AM Joy, and this is a couple weeks back now. It's after Charlottesville and things like that. But listen to what she has to say about the president being divisive when it comes to race issues.
He is about division. He is about signaling to that core group of his that this country that he wants to make great again is all about making it white. And it's all about saying to them that your troubles, your problems are caused by those people. I'm going to put a travel ban on people who we won't let into United States of America because they're the ones who are undermining your efforts to do well. He's pointing now to the NFL. We know that the majority of these players are African Americans, and we know what he is doing. We're not tricked or fooled by him in any shape, form, or fashion.
All right. That was actually just from today. My notes had a wrong date on it. So listen, is this a race issue? Is President Trump intentionally stoking racial fires? May I ask if Maxine Waters is intentionally stoking racial fires, if her comments are absolutely clearly divisive and intentionally divisive? She goes on in that clip to say, you know, he never said a word about, you know, doesn't say a word about white supremacists. Well, of course, he's denounced them by name several different occasions. But should we look at this as a race issue? There's an interesting conversation with NFL football great Jim Brown. It comes from last year. but it's relevant. He's 80 years old. He's been known for taking strong stands on civil rights issues. He's always been outspoken, one of the greatest athletes to ever play in the NFL. And he's being interviewed. This is a discussion of Brooke Baldwin on CNN with a black pastor who was a supporter of Trump, I believe. Listen to what Jim Brown has to say, because it's a redemptive path. It's a direction that I want to go. Listen to Jim Brown on this interview.
I've lived all my life in America, and I'm 80 years old. So I have seen discrimination at its worst. I understand slavery. I study history. The only thing that I've always done, I've tried to make sure that I was a decent person and that I worked outside of myself to make things better. So I don't always look at black and white, but I'm going to say this to you.
Yes.
And I don't ever say this. The three greatest people in my life were white. Okay? My high school coach, my high school superintendent, and my mentor in Manhasset, Long Island. I never had a father, really. My great-grandmother raised me. But I was in this country where I got help from people that were not of my same color. So when I come out of the box, I don't come out of the box as racial. I look for good people and people that will be like-minded and help me try to do good for other human beings. So that's truly where I'm coming from.
Now, you see, on that clip, he was asked to address, is Trump's cabinet too white? Does it have enough minorities, enough women, things like that, people of color? And that's what he was addressing, that we're not looking at color, we're looking at right, wrong, best qualified, things like that. So let me step back, and then you get to weigh in, and I want to hear from you. You can have passionate disagreement on these things. But here's the deal. I have talked to enough people over the years, especially as a radio show host, to know that there are often two very real perspectives that can seem to be completely contrary and opposing, and yet there is much in common. So let me lay this out. There are many Americans, when they think of the flag, they think of what is best about America. And when they think of the flag, this is the time before every big sports event and celebration and things like this. This is our time to remember what's best about our country and to celebrate those who sacrificed for our country. We are remembering our soldiers that are on the front lines now, our military that's on the front lines around the world, risking their lives for our freedoms. We're remembering those who sacrificed, and therefore you don't do anything to disrespect the flag, especially if you have been privileged by our liberties. Come on, these NFL athletes often make more in a year than many of us make in a lifetime. That's incredible. That's because of America and the capitalist system and the riches of the nation and being such an entrepreneurial nation and all of that. So you don't disrespect the flag. There are others that see the flag, and it just stands for America to them with all of its blemishes and weaknesses. And they feel, listen, we can't turn a blind eye to those things. We cannot turn a blind eye. And therefore, it's important we draw attention to racial and social inequities, to inequities in our justice system and things like that. We have a cry also. I have had all too many African-American callers tell me about being racially profiled, tell me about difficulties they had to overcome simply because they were African-American. These are God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, law-abiding people. And I've heard them enough to know they're not just making this up. On the flip side, I've heard from police officers, I've heard from others on the other side of the debate to say, yeah, but we have problems, though, with black crime in inner cities. How can you not racially profile them if you have a case where you're looking for somebody and it has to do with the breakdown of the family? And others say, well, the breakdown of the family goes back to the welfare system as white people put. The debate goes around and around, but here's the deal. Those who are standing for patriotism and those who are kneeling for justice both want the same thing, which is an America that is great, an America that is just, an America that is strong, an America that stands for liberty and equality, an America that helps a needy world all around. That's what everyone wants. Now, there's all kinds of mixtures. There's a patriotism that's unhealthy, that turns a blind eye to problems. There's a justice emphasis that's unhealthy because it's not based on true justice. It's based on other types of inequities. A lot of the social justice warriors are dangerous. A lot of the hyper-patriots are dangerous. Here's what needs to happen. The rhetoric needs to be quieted down. Here, let me put out something. The president of the United States calls on LeBron James and says, let's have a face-to-face. Let's share one another's perspectives. I'm going to honor you as the president of the United States, and I want you to show honor to me before the nation. Let's sit and talk rather than attack each other, because now the protests are about the protests and the fight's about the words, and we've gotten away from the issues. Let's talk about patriotism and what's best about America and American sacrifices. Let's talk about justice and where there are inequities, how to address those, and let's calm down with all the rhetoric. Let's sit and talk and reason and listen and learn. That's the path of wisdom.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I am about to go to the phones. Before I do that, today's September 25th. This would have been my beloved mom's 95th birthday. She passed away November of last year. And this is the first birthday then without her. We didn't get to celebrate it last year. I was actually on the road, and Nancy and some of our family went over, brought these balloons in for her. We thought the balloons would carry her away. She's so little and frail at that point. But I want to encourage you, if you have elderly parents in particular, or parents you're not in touch with a lot, reach out to them. Let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. You only have so many years to get to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Everyone watching on YouTube, hey, shout out there. I'm going to interact with some of the comments that you post on YouTube as well. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Let's start to go to the phones. We'll start with Roman in Pueblo, Colorado. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was side we were taking. I took the side of Donald Trump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just that I don't think what he said was absolutely good.
Tell you what, we've got a bad connection here, and how it's going to work on it with you to see if we can improve that. No sense talking to you if I can't understand you. We'll go to Richmond, Virginia. Garland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yes, I just want to make a comment with this stuff that happened. I don't agree with what President Trump said in some of the ways he said it, using a little bit of the language he used.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is this, coming from the military and having a wife whose dad served the Army and unfortunately gave his life dying for our country and our freedoms, the problem I have generally is this, and this ain't a racial issue. I've served with many colors, many races, male, female alike. So I don't see people as colors. And as far as dividing the nation, I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about racial issues. It's not about race. It's about disrespecting a flag, and a flag that represents, to me, the men and women of all races that have served and fought for our nation and our freedoms that we so graciously endear and enjoy is because of those men and women that have served in any capacity, whether it be in our military and armed forces, whether it be in law enforcement, whether it be in roles that support those situations, government, whatever the case would be.
Yeah.
That flag represents everybody and all of us as a nation, and it is so disrespectful for people to take a knee on something that doesn't even have anything to do with freedoms and rights. As far as racism and things, that flag does not represent that. It represents the freedom of our nation and the right for these players to make these kind of dollars and money. And my whole point of it is, if you want to take a knee and disrespect the flag and everything, well, take your millions of dollars and put it out there to make a better America, a richer nation, a richer city. Put it into schools. Put it into some positive roles and stuff. Put your money where your mouth is. if that's what you so choose to take a knee on. Taking a knee is easy. Doing something about the problem in the situation, pull your wallet out and start making a difference and changing your community. But there's children watching this, and it's continually creating a divide in the nation, and it's sad. I don't necessarily agree with the way President Trump put it out there. I do agree that they shouldn't be taking a knee. I wish he would clean his language up a little more. But I can honestly say that it's disheartening, because when you see people that have died, and women and men, fathers and mothers that have lost their daughters and their sons to a bloody war, it's a disrespect and a disgrace to this nation, period.
Yeah.
And even I work with blacks, I work with Hispanics every day, and we had those conversations today. We're standing arms in arms talking about how disrespectful that these athletes are. And it's not just filtering through the professional football players as men. It's filtering down into little leagues as well. It's sad. But thank you, Dr. Brown, for what you do, and I'll let you go now.
Yeah, Garland, thank you for weighing in, and thank you, sir, for your service and those close to you for sacrifice for our country. In the article that I wrote, you can read it at askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. I did say there are better ways to find to protest than sitting out the anthem or kneeling during the anthem, for the very reasons that Garland said. So in other words, I believe that there are issues that all of America needs to face. They are justice issues, not race issues. There are justice issues. But there are better ways to bring attention to it. Now, many NFL players, to their credit, they work in their communities, they seek to better their communities, they invest in their communities. But if you're going to do something that to so many Americans seems disrespectful and dishonoring to the war dead and to war heroes and to families that have lost loved ones fighting for our freedoms, that's the problem. It now becomes counterproductive, just like the president saying what he says, the way he says it can become counterproductive. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Zach, you're on the line of fire.
Hey, Dr. Michael Brown. Happy birthday to your mother.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry for your loss. So what you said earlier before the break really hit me hard, and I agree with most of what you say. But I do feel for the NFL players. President Trump getting on there and acting with anger and some of the vulgar words that he used, it's almost like a reverse psychology. You're seeing players on the sideline, and they're becoming unified, whether they're kneeling or standing. They're interlocking arms, and it seems like it's really working to his disadvantage, Trump's disadvantage in what he said. And I'm seeing the sovereignty of God in that. You know, Trump is not in control, and he thinks that he is, but God's in control. And when we see these things play out like that, you can't help but give God the glory for that. Something is going on right now in this country, and it seems like every day there's a new headline in the news. And I think that we need to just rely on God to fix this, because our president isn't going to help unify us. It seems like he just wants diversity. So I really believe it's up to the people. And those who fought for our freedom fought for the right of freedom to speech. So I do believe that the players have a better ability to protest, but I don't put the blame on them whatsoever for what they're doing after the president said such harsh things.
Yeah, and Zach, the issue is, and I was interacting with an NFL insider about this last night, the issue is that there were only a handful of players that were participating in protests during the anthem. And now, what, it affects several hundred players and then even makes its way into Major League Baseball. And now it's basically got almost nothing to do with the issues. Now it's a protest against the president attacking them. And again, that's the nature of our president, his strength and weakness. He can turn the news cycle in a dime. He can make the whole thing about him and his words. And right now, yes. He has every right to say what he wants to say. He's the president of the United States. But the question is, does his approach bring greater understanding, greater unity, more light than heat? Does the response bring greater unity, greater understanding, more light than heat? That's the challenge right now. And it's only going to get better as we sit and talk to each other. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, here's a great question. Just saw it posted by Almonius on our YouTube channel. And he says this, Dr. Brown, what do you think should be a pastor's role in the midst of this political dichotomy, especially if the local church is split politically too? Meaning, right now, the battle between the president of the United States and the NFL, NFL owners siding with players, NASCAR owners siding with the president, and on it goes, division through the country, NFL teams not coming out at all to participate in the national anthem. Some saying this was our way of not making a political statement either way. Other players feeling they had to stand up against what the president said and therefore make a public statement because they were insulted by the most powerful person in the free world. Others saying, look, this is getting worse and uglier, and now it's becoming a race issue when it's not a race issue. How do we sort this out? Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. 866-348-7884. I want to go to the phones in a moment, but I made six statements. You could read my article, What Do We Make of the Battle Between President Trump and the NFL? You can read it on the website, AskDrBrown.org. I made six statements. Number one, the American flag is associated with sacrifices made for our national freedom, and it represents the best of our nation. Therefore, protesting during the national anthem should be avoided since it is perceived as unpatriotic. Two, if we want to celebrate America's greatness, we can't ignore America's faults. So there is another side to this story. Three, the debate about the protest is not a debate about race. Four, incendiary rhetoric begets more incendiary rhetoric. Five, most Americans want sports to be sports. Six, once again, this is about President Trump. It's become about him. Perhaps he could be the one then, since he drives the news cycle, he could be the one to turn things in a redemptive path. Surely he has the marketing genius to do that and the wisdom to do that. Let's pray that he will. So before I go to your calls, let me lay out an answer to the question, what should a pastor do? Many of you pastors are listening to me around America and social media, and many of you in churches that are racially, politically, ethnically diverse, which is wonderful, but it gets very dicey at times like this, because it's amazing how sometimes a largely white congregation sees something, a largely black congregation sees something, a largely Hispanic congregation, a largely Asian congregation, largely wealthy congregation, largely poor congregation, each based on life experience and each bringing a valid perspective. The question is, what is truth and how can we be redemptive? So what I would say is this. The first thing a pastor needs to do is say, we're going to address the issues because we know you're all talking about them and we want to give wisdom. I'm not trying to be politicians here. That's number one. Number two, calm everything down. Calm everything down. Soft word turns away anger. Let's be redemptive in our speech. Let's be constructive, not destructive. Let's think. Let's pray before we write and communicate. I was ready to scrap my article last night on the NFL. I had written the introduction to it, and I said, Lord, I don't feel I have anything to say. I can say this side says this, this side says this. I'm going to lay it down. I went back to prayer. Suddenly, I got, okay, I know the plan, and I wrote. Otherwise, let's not speak unless we have something redemptive to say. And then this is what I would do. I would do my best to understand, let's say there are two major sides here, to understand the grievances and points of view of each side, and then to present them. If you know folks in your congregation that passionately stand for different sides, say, hey, why don't you take 2-3 minutes to explain your side? Why don't you take 2-3 minutes to explain yours? Once you both understand, then you can say, okay, now how can we work together for the common goal of respecting our nation, respecting authority, respecting our flag, but dealing with faults and problems in our nation? How can we really make America great together? And it's going to start with God's people living by gospel principles. We'll be right back with your calls. You get to weigh in next. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, to everyone that is listening online or you're listening on our Line of Fire app, do you know that you can watch us live online as well? Watch us with the YouTube app. So here's the deal. Our YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. We are broadcasting most days and hopefully soon every day. We're broadcasting the show, which you hear on radio. We are broadcasting live on our YouTube channel. You can put comments in the chat box there, and we'll get to look at some of those during the show. We have special features, our Hebrew word of the day, where I take 2 minutes to comment on a different Hebrew word. We have other special features that run during the show during the break. So if you're not just listening on your radio, right? If you're listening on your cell phone with our app, or if you're listening online through your computer, why not watch the show as it unfolds? And many times, as you're hearing an audio clip on the radio, we're playing a video clip on our station. So you can watch it, Ask Dr. Brown. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's hear from you, our callers. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Chris, welcome, sir, to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well, sir.
Good. As they would say, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But my statement, I guess, question is sort of this. Before every meal, regardless of where I am, I definitely pray, thank God for my meal. I've mm-hmm. gone to several Super Bowl events, parties and so forth. We've been to boxing matches. We've seen NBA championships where, you know, a lot of us have gathered. And without fail, we always pray before every meal. But when the national anthem is played, in all the years that I've ever been to any type of event like this, we have never stood at attention, never taken off our hats, never done anything along those lines. That's normally a time when we're still gathering, you know, getting the food and, you know, and talking to each other, but we've never taken the time to do that. Mm-hmm. My thoughts are that a lot of the people who are upset that these people are not standing during the national anthem, you know, or taking a knee and so forth, that they're doing something wrong. However, I would think that a lot of the people who are complaining are doing just like me. They are walking around, talking, and doing other things, and if you're going to protest or not agree with the people who are doing those things, then I would say that in your own home, you should probably be doing the exact same things. Now, and I would, I guess, pose a question to you. If you've ever watched a sporting event when the national anthem is played, do you stand at attention or take off your hat or, you know, do anything like that at all?
Yeah, well, I stand. I would honestly say, though, it's never been that big an issue to me. In other words, I stand because it's customary to stand and it shows respect. I don't wear a hat normally. But yeah, I normally do that. But let me ask this, sir. Your own background, I just see in the note here in your call that you shared some of your background. So you served in the military?
Yes, I'm a black male. But first of all, born again Christian. Black mm-hmm. male. Worked in law enforcement, also have been in was in the U.S. Navy from the in the 80s and the 90s.
Got it. And do you identify as conservative or liberal or?
Definitely conservative.
Definitely conservative. All right. Well, that gives even more light on your perspective. So the basic point, we're blowing things out of proportion because it was never that big a deal. And now we're making it a big deal. This is a sign of patriotism or not. Hey, Chris, I appreciate that perspective, and it's one we probably don't even think about. And at home, right, who at home is doing anything other than just going on with your business during the national anthem? How many – that's
exactly.
A good question. How many – in fact, I'm going to do a Twitter poll and find out how many do it at home. If you're watching on YouTube, weigh in the chat box. If during the national anthem, do you stand to attention at your house – do you stop doing what you're doing? If you're preparing food, you not do that. Chris, great question. Thank you for raising it. 866-348-7884. Yeah, let me know. Post your comments on YouTube, and I'm going to do a Twitter poll just out of curiosity. Because that's another question to add into the mix from a conservative, black, former military man and born-again Christian. All right, let's go over to Salt Lake City, Utah. Wayne, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you.
Thanks. Need you to just speak up if you can, all right?
Okay. My question, comment, I guess, if they're taking a knee in respect to the flag or praying to God at that point, that's perfectly fine. But when they do it in mass as a protest, I view it as almost sacrilegious.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've taken a knee when a fallen buddy is on the field. And
right, they take a knee to pray, right, if so, because there's
right.
Such a dangerous sport.
It
so they're all
a prayer type thing.
Yeah,
but
in this case though, I don't think it's a prayer thing for many of.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's in other words, it's saying when I see that flag, I'm ashamed. When I see that flag, I see the injustices in our country. I see the inequities of our country. I'm not proud to be an American now, so I'm not standing. I'm kneeling. Again, the problem with that, though, is that it disrespects the flag in the eyes of many other Americans who feel that it is an insult to those who sacrifice. That's why I say, by all means, let's understand where there are inequities, where there's racial injustice, where there is injustice with poor versus rich, wherever there are breakdowns in our system, let's talk about it honestly. Let's educate one another, but let's find a different way to do it that doesn't seem to disrespect our country's sacrifice or servicemen's sacrifice at the same time. Hey, Wayne, thank you. Thank you for raising that and weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, ultimately, I believe those who are standing in respect to our flag and our heritage and those who are kneeling saying there are things wrong in America, if you talk it through, right, ultimately, I believe everyone wants to see the best America possible, one that we can all be proud of together, and we all do appreciate the sacrifices that have been made for our freedoms. I believe the ones kneeling appreciate the sacrifices that have been made, but express things in such a way that it seems to disrespect them. I believe those standing are not saying we ignore problems in our nation. So if we can get past this and then say, tell you what, let sports be sports. How about that? Let sports be sports, and then let's talk about the issues. The issues are on the table. Let's talk about the issues. Let sports be sports. I think everybody, you just need a little outlet. Like, okay, how about a day when we're not dividing over politics? How about an hour when we're not fighting, when we're just going to watch a fun game? So that again, becomes an issue. Let's go to Ruff. No, we won't go there. Let's go to Ann in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Ann, just need to turn down your radio there. All right, let's tell you what. Need you to turn down your radio, and then you can hear us just straight through the phone. Let's try that again. All right, Ann in Raleigh, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Ann.
You can hear us just straight through the phone.
All right, tell you what, Howard, if you could help Ann there, we'll get that sorted out. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Kyle, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just calling to say that regardless of the reasons for why people are doing it or the reason Trump said or what they've said, in a nation where Christians are coming under attack using their freedom of speech, I feel like it's important to respect their decision to express freedom of speech. And that, you know, it might be for the wrong reasons, but they've mm-hmm. got that freedom to express it.
Got it. Right. Now, some would say that because the NFL players are in uniform on the job, that it's the freedom that their employer gives them. In other words, if their employer says no one is allowed to make a political statement during a game, well, then the player either has to accept that or not play and not get paid. But yeah, Kyle, I'm with you that a big, big issue in our nation right now is attack on freedoms. And even though I find the president's speech, the way he said certain things to be unhelpful, and then the responses against him, some of the speech to be unhelpful. Yeah, this is a freedom of speech that we don't want to disregard. And again, technically, technically, so I'm not pushing back. I agree with you, Kyle. I absolutely agree with you. And freedom of speech is under assault, especially from people of faith. But technically, we're not dealing with an exact freedom of speech issue when it is players who are paid to be on the field at that time. So it's up to the owner to say, I find this behavior appropriate or inappropriate for one of my employees during paid time in front of the nation. But I'm with you on the larger point. We'll be back. Take your calls on the other side of the break.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we go back to the phones. Let's try to reconnect with Ann in Raleigh. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Brown, this is Ann from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad to be able to have a conversation with you.
I tell you what, you still sounds like you have your radio on in the background there. All right, you got to turn that down. I'm hearing you as you're speaking. I'm hearing the radio on in the background, so we need you to turn that down. We'll try one more time. All right, so Ann, you got radio turned off completely. Yes.
Hello.
All right, you got the radio turned off.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. Go ahead, please. I'm all ears, Ann.
I'm military. I spent 10 years in the military, very proud to be an American. I automatically, when I hear the national anthem played, because I serve my country, I know the importance of putting my hand over my heart if I'm outside or any other thing. But the thing that I wanted to say was, you know, our president, being who he is held to a much higher standard than the average person is. Mm-hmm. And to think that you are more concerned about whether I kneel or stand and the plight that the country is in today just doesn't seem correct. And he does not have the right to say anything he wants to say because he is the president. He's held to a much higher standard. So I just think whether it's any sport, and just like a couple of the other players or callers have said, when you're not standing outside in front of people, are you actually standing up in your home? Are you standing up in the bars? Are you standing up anywhere else, putting your hand over your heart or either standing at attention? I believe people who are in the military know the importance of that because we have actually served, and we know what it's like to be proud to serve our country. But the president, I just feel, is wrong. He says anything he wants to say anyway, and that's not correct either. He's the president, for God's sake, of the United States of America, and he says and does the most atrocious things as a president. I just wanted to say that.
Hey, Ann, you certainly have the right to say it, and I also wish that the president would not say some of these things. I understand the issue of disrespect of the flag. You understand it better. You served in the military. My mom and dad did, but I did not. So you can express that even more deeply than I can. But, yeah, I wish that he would be more of a unifier than a divider. And there are powerful ways to do it. So, Ann, thank you for weighing in, and thank you for your service. Let's go to Dallas, Texas. Jerry, you're on the Line of Fire.
Yes, hey, Dr. Brown. I just want to say that as a black conservative man that served in the military over 20 years, who has lost friends and troops in the war zone, I feel it's very offensive when someone doesn't stand for the national anthem or cover their heart or take their hats off. And that's just the way I feel. It really irritates me, really irritates me, especially after you lose friends and troops. And that's all I want to say on the subject.
Sir, let me ask you one question. I have said, and it's in my article, folks can read at AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, my article. I did say because the protest is perceived as a direct disrespect to the flag and disrespect of the sacrifices of our veterans and families today, that the players need to find a different way to protest or a different way to draw attention to things. So I'm with you on that, because even if it's well-intended, it sends a very wrong message to many others and then ends up being divisive. But how do you feel about the way the president addressed the issue?
The way the president addressed the issue wasn't a good way to do it.
How do you feel about the way the president addressed
I'm so upset about him not standing anyway and sitting for the national anthem, you know what I'm saying? But the president does put his foot in his mouth quite a bit.
Got it.
And he could, you know, use his power and authority to bring the country together sometimes. But sometimes he's kind of a loose cannon, you know?
Yep, got it. Hey,
last meat head we had in the presidency, you know, we might need a loose cannon a little bit.
Yeah, and here's the issue, sir. And with all respect, I in my role, I would not use certain terms in referring to our pastor or present president as meathead, just for the record on my end. But I fully respect everything you're saying. I absolutely do. I felt many of the comments President Obama made were divisive and unhelpful. President Trump just does it in an amped up way, and that's part of how he got elected. But now as president, what if he got up and said, look, I understand that some of you players in the NFL, you carry certain burdens for your communities, and you feel that many of us are insensitive to those. So let's come together and talk and help us to understand. And we have task force to look and address these very issues, because if there's injustice, we want to combat it. But can we come together and all stand for our national anthem and say, we respect this country, let's make it great? What if that happened? Maybe instead of things that happened this past Sunday, it would have gone in a very, very different direction. Hey, thank you for weighing in. Let's go to Lee in Raleigh again. Welcome to the Line of Fire. All right. I'm so sorry. I cut you off when you didn't speak. My profound apologies, Lee. So sorry. I thought no one was there. Let's go to Honolulu. Barbara, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Once again, it's an honor to speak with you.
Well, thank you.
How have you been?
Go ahead, please.
We met once before. Anyway, this whole topic has my attention because of my background. And the way I see it is there are two teams fighting, just like two teams in football. Mm-hmm. You have the good guys and the bad guys. At this particular point, I see the president as the good guy. Now, the question is, who's the bad guy? Who's the guy behind the green door that's pulling the strings that tell people not to respect the flag? Oh, maybe it's the person that doesn't know how to spell respect, like our former president. Anyway, that's my take on it. What do you think about my take on it, Doc?
Well, here's what I think, Barbara. I think that ultimately there are bad guys on every side. There are white supremacists and black supremacists. There are race baiters and race provokers. There are people who are exploiting various causes for their own gain. That's what I think, number one. And they are dividing us. Number two, as we saw during the hurricanes, we are more united in many ways than divided. When there's need, we'll come together, and we're not seeing color or ethnicity. We're seeing people in need, and let's help together. So that leads me to three, what can we do to cultivate that unity? And again, I come back to one of my standard talking points. We sit down across different lines of perspective and say, share your perspective with me. I want to understand it. Then once I understand yours, may I share mine with you. Once you understand mine, we're going to do a lot better to moving forward. Check out my latest articles. They'll be helpful at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. See you tomorrow.